You're listening to FCUM Radio, a radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Oh! Oh!
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's league match with Darlington from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, shortly we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in their Manchester FA County Cup final from Friday evening against the Manchester Stingers. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with some events for your diary, as the club have announced the date for this year's FC Youth Sports Day. This sporting extravaganza will take place on Sunday the 3rd of June on the 3G pitch at Broadhurst Park from 12 till 3. There'll be prizes and the sports will be grouped into age-appropriate games and races. There will also be a bouncy castle for the day and an ice cream van. For more information, please email chrisb@fc-utd.co.uk. Elsewhere during the summer, and the club have announced that on Friday the 13th of July, FC United will be welcoming our friends from Switzerland, FC Winterthur, for an international friendly. Kick-off on the night will be 7:45pm. The game will also see other events taking place at Broadhurst Park to coincide with the weekend of the World Cup final, including other friendlies for both the first team and women's team, and the return of the FC United Beer Festival. And finally, the women's team will be back in the main stadium this Sunday, as FC United will be hosting CMB Ladies in the semi-final of the Argyle Cup. Kick-off at Broadhurst on Sunday will be at 2pm. You're listening to This Club Is My Club right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Later in the show, we'll be hearing how the men's team got on in their league match with Darlington at Broadhurst Park on Saturday afternoon. But before that, on Friday evening, FC United's treble-chasing women's side took to the field to take on the Manchester Stingers in the final of the Manchester FA County Cup. To hear now if Luke Podmore's side could retain their cup, it's over to Brookburn Road on Friday night.
Hello everybody, and welcome to a very historic occasion. It's the Manchester County Cup Final 2018 from Brookburn Road, the home of West Didsbury and Cheltenham, and it's FC United, the Manchester women's team, against Manchester Stingers. We're about to get this game underway. Stato Paul is with me. Hello Paul.
Good evening.
You excited about tonight?
I am, yes. The winners of 2016 against the winners of 2017, so quite a battle ahead.
And obviously it's the first of maybe three trophies for FC United. Obviously, Luke Podmore's a City fan, so he knows how that kind of talk ends. But hopefully, it's not going to end the way it's ended for our blue cousins.
Well, that's right, yeah. We're defending the trophy. We've got to the final again. It's a bit of deja vu back at Brookburn for the final on a Friday night. So let's hope it's the same result.
And we're underway, and I'll give you the teams shortly, but we are underway with FC United attacking the end away from us, which is good. FC United line up with Jackson, Davis, Carrington, Greenall, Patient, Sullivan, Foster, Battle, Chambers, who's captain, McCarrick and Cara Fields. Substitutes, and what substitutes, Ben, this is Winters, Ainsworth, Lomax, Flanagan and Hatcliffe. That's a team with intent, Paul.
And we do have rolling subs tonight.
There we go. Here is Sullivan now. Sullivan to Chambers. Chambers on the left-hand side now. Checks in field with it. Does well. Beats one player. Plays the ball square. Step over from Fields there. And Sullivan is brought down. And a free kick to FC United. From this depth, it looks like a promising area. It could be 40 yards from goal from this angle. But it looks promising.
It was teed up there for Fran Sullivan. It looks like, well, from here it looks like the edge of the box. It's probably a bit further out. But she was barged over from behind, so clear foul. So we've got Fran Sullivan and Kirsty Chambers poised over it. The right foot of Sullivan maybe more suited.
Well, we're right behind this, and as Paul says, Chambers and Sullivan over it. Probably does suit a right footer more, but who knows? Kirsty Chambers has scored many a goal like this.
Four in the wall.
Five.
Five in the wall now.
Five yellow shirts in the wall. It's Sullivan. Sullivan. Oh, that's in the bottom corner. That is a fine, fine free kick from Fran Sullivan. 9 minutes gone here. And what a peach that was, Paul.
Well, that's the kind of thing that Fran Sullivan has done all season. She's an absolute magician with free kicks. That right foot, it really is something else. She creates so many goals, but she scores a lot too. That's amazing.
Well, it's a great free kick, and
that was a bit of class, wasn't it?
We were toying with the idea of Kirsty Chambers curling it pretty much into the same area. It was to the right of the goalkeeper, but it dipped, and so much pace on it as well. And the goalkeeper, Sean Payne, had no chance with that one. And as we said there, with 9 minutes gone here at Brookburn Road in this County Cup final, FC United have taken the lead. The Stingers on the attack, but there's Fran Sullivan again, heading ball out to towards Kirsty Chambers. Chambers charging down that clearance. Ball breaks to Sullivan. Sullivan now. Lovely through ball to find Kirsty Chambers. Heading towards the corner flag. First time cross comes in. Is it going to get to Cara Fields? No. It's good. Oh, we're referee.
Is he given a penalty? Is it on the edge of the box?
It's a bit of confusion.
He's given a foul.
It's a foul, but from a...
We're looking hard.
That's got to be in the penalty area, isn't it? I know we're right behind the other goal, but...
We're trying hard to figure out now what he's given.
He's
given like a free kick.
No, it's a penalty, Paul.
Has he given it?
It's a penalty to FC United. 37 minutes gone here. A tackle there on Cara Fields in the penalty area. We can't judge, but the referee's given a penalty, and it's going to be Kirsty Chambers to step up here on 37 minutes. The referee having a chat with the Manchester Stingers bench, who obviously aren't happy about that decision. But a penalty has been given here at Brookburn Road in this County Cup final. Yeah, so the referee is holding up play here while we wait for one of the coaching staff from Manchester Stingers to vacate the playing area.
It's the shades of Luke Podmore's dismissal at
Woodler.
Stockport.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, when we're back underway, 39 minutes gone now. This is not the best preparation for this penalty for Kirsty Chambers, but she's going to step up now for FC United. Slots into the bottom corner, and FC United are 2-0 up. 39 minutes gone here, and Paul,
I think that's a fair reflection on the first half. Again, you know, I can go back. 72% possession for FC.
Scored by number 11, Kirsty Chambers.
And Kirsty's worked hard on the left wing. She's put in a lot of crosses, without an end product so far. But Cara Fields, I think, was brought down there in the box, and Cara's made some good runs, and she's been fouled a couple of times now in dangerous positions. So the Stingers are finding it difficult to cope with our breaks from midfield.
And that is full time here in this Manchester FA Women's County Cup final, and FC United have retained the trophy, the first of what could be a three-part winning season for FC United and Luke Podmore's side. It's finished 2-0 to the team in red. Manchester Stingers just haven't got a foothold in this game at all, Paul, in the 94 minutes we played. And FC United, comfortable winners there.
Yeah, I think the word is comfortable. I don't think FC have been 100% tonight, but they've certainly done enough. First half particularly was dominant. They basically looked like they were the side from a higher division. They ran the game. The Stingers were chasing the ball for a lot of the first half. Second half, maybe the Stingers came into it slightly. But the fact that they didn't even manage a shot on target tells you everything you need to know. Another very efficient performance from FC. And, of course, they've got a semi-final to come in the Argyle Cup in the stadium later this month. And the league title is very much in their hands. So it's all systems go for Luke and his players at the moment.
And this evening's game, I mean, the possession stats, it has been dominant, hasn't it, from FC? Not one shot on target from the Manchester Stingers. Their best player has been their goalkeeper.
FC United
haven't really pressured the goalkeeper that much. It's been crosses that have come in and stuff like that. She's not done any dynamite saves, has she?
No. I think that FC's midfield were dominant really for long periods of the game. The quartet in the middle, Sullivan, Foster, Fields,
Greenall,
they were just too smart for the opposition, and their coordination and teamwork was of higher standard. And this is a great marker again for next season. If we do get the promotion that we deserve, we'll be playing the teams like Manchester Stingers on a regular basis, and it looks like we'll be holding our own at least.
And one of the things we've picked up upon in this game, and we've seen it all season long, but it's difficult to assess when you're playing teams at your own level. We don't allow the opposition any time at all on the ball, and we just pass them to death. And not in a Liverpool 1985 way, it's passing with purpose, and we're pulling players all over the place, making space. It's just that it's how football should be played. And, you know, Luke Podmore and his coaching staff should be congratulated as well. This is a well-drilled women's side that we've got here.
I think what he's done is, one of the things that he's instilled into the team is that if you keep the ball moving and the movement off the ball is good, then you stretch teams much more easily. And you always keep them on the wrong foot. I don't think the Stingers were comfortable in the way we played tonight, because if we'd played a slower game, they would have been able to pick up players better. But the way we kept moving it from left to right, it really did make them chase the ball, and they didn't enjoy the experience whatsoever.
No, you're right. And let's talk about the goal. The first goal was from Fran Sullivan, a sublime free kick. Everyone was expecting it to go into the top corner. She went, you know what, I'm gonna go over the wall, but make it dip so it just goes right underneath the goalkeeper on the post.
I mean, I think Fran Sullivan is an absolutely outstanding player. She's got like a magic wand of her right foot. She can pick a pass from any distance. She can shoot. She can create. I mean, the number of assists she's got this season is remarkable. And the goals that she scores, she's a constant threat. Drifting in from the midfield and supporting the striker or strikers. She is a magical player, and you can tell that she's played at a higher level.
The second goal was a penalty. We can't comment on if it was a penalty or not. It looked like a clumsy challenge on Cara Fields in the penalty area, and it's Kirsty Chambers, the club captain, with several hundred goals under her belt already for the club. She's not going to miss them, and she didn't. And despite a long passage of delay while one of the coaching staff for Manchester Stingers was sent off, Chambers slots at home 2-0, and FC United haven't looked back. We've not really had to pressure Sean Payne too much,
I think,
because we've not really had to trouble ourselves getting any more goals.
With a two-goal comfort zone, we've not had to go hell for leather in the second half, and it may well be that we've got something in mind, because obviously we've got another league game coming up, and we've got to have some reserves for that. The fixture schedule has meant that this game was easier for us if we put it to bed quickly rather than chase it for 90 minutes. And yes, we didn't go flat out in the 90 minutes in this match, because it was in the bag.
Let's remind ourselves, FC United played away on Sunday, played away,
away
on Wednesday,
at Crewe, away at Altrincham. Yeah.
They played tonight, and they've got a game on Sunday.
After Liverpool on Sunday.
This is a heavy schedule. It would be a heavy schedule for a non-league men's side who was semi-professional. This is an amateur women's side. And to play this level of football constantly and at such a tempo they are playing is all credit to the fitness as well, to be fair.
Yeah, again, you know, you can turn around and say the Premier Division side, you would expect them to be possibly fitter, but there's been no evidence of that whatsoever. When we played other Premier Division sides, it's been the same story. I think that whatever we do in training is very, very good. I must give credit to the planning behind the scenes in terms of the fitness and the coaching, because we can do a number on virtually, it looks like, any Premier Division side. And fitness-wise, we stand up to the challenge.
Luke Podmore, in his pre-match interview, said that great sides retain trophies. And for FC United, this was the first trophy Luke Podmore won as FC United's manager. It does mean a lot to him as a competition. And to retain it the way we have, beating another team, because last year it was City of Manchester, wasn't it? Another team higher up the pyramid. We've said it for ages now. This FC United need to be at least a level above to really give themselves any credit and justice.
Yeah. And it's interesting, last season the men and the women won the County Cups. And it could be repeated again this season. If the men see off Trafford at Hyde.
Yes.
So we're heavily involved in the Manchester FA County Cups. Yeah, once more.
That's right. And they love us, Paul. They love FC United Radio. We're everyone. And just to say, the official player of the match is the one I said should be the player of the match.
I thought it might have been the dog that's
Sean
run on.
Payne. And you know what? I agree. I don't care what you say.
Well, I think for the fact that she can still walk up and collect her medal shows great credit, because she's taken a bit of a physical battering this evening. But yes, she was. I mean, that tells you pretty much what you need to know about the game, that their goalkeeper won man of the match.
Yes. Well, congratulations to Champagne. I think it's deserved, to be fair.
So, and unfortunately for every winner, there has to be a runner-up. Commiserations to Manchester Stingers.
Indeed, they're coming up now for the runners-up medals, and
together with their mascot dog.
I mean, it has been one of those games for them where they've just not had a sniff.
Stop. Yeah. Well, I think they've been hounded out of this.
So
let's hear it once again for Manchester Stingers.
I should say a great club based at Whalley Range.
Yes, not too far away. King's Road, I think they play out, is it?
And just before we present the trophy to tonight's winners, I'd like to confirm tonight's total attendance is 338.
Oh, another one sneaked in. We had it as 337.
Well, 338 people.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, your champions, FC United of Manchester.
So here they come, led by Rebecca Foster. Obviously, like we said, this is FC United retaining the County Cup. And it's one third of a possible treble, which for Luke Podmore, as a City fan, is uncharted territory.
Yes. For those of you scratching your heads.
I made that joke to him off air earlier.
Yes, I'm sure you did.
Champagne being popped early there.
One more time for the back-to-back County Cup champions, FC United!
And a big congratulations from everyone here at FC United Radio. Kirsten Chambers leading the celebrations there. FC United and Manchester's women's team, County Cup champions for the second year running.
And finally, we'd like to thank everyone who's attended our County Cup final this evening. And a special mention, of course, to Westonbury and Chorlton.
So, Luke, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Enjoying the moment, just to say.
A big congratulations to you, Luke, and to you, Kirsty. Kirsty, how many goals have you scored now? I think is that 704, something silly?
I don't know. Yeah. I've lost count, I don't know about you. It's been that many seasons, I don't know.
But that was a very professional performance, that. I mean, it was, how many, what was the possession stats, Paul, in the end?
I think it was 71.
71% possession. Two goals.
Yeah.
It's not equated much so much, has it, all that possession?
Not
you
really.
You must be very disappointed.
Yeah, really disappointed.
what does it tell you about if we do get promotion next season and we play teams like the Stingers on a regular basis?
Listen, they were a tough, resilient side. I think the conditions obviously, you know, made that really tough for us to play our own game today. We've shown before, I've been to Camel Lane, the state of that pitch when we got to there, it was tough. We find a way to win, and that's why we're champions, so it was brilliant.
The other thing you were doing was, Champagne was the player of the match, in my humble opinion. But what you were doing really well was just, you're pulling them all over the place, and they didn't have any respite at all on the ball.
No, and that's what we said at half-time. We said we need to move them around just a little bit more, make it a little bit easy for them, so moved them around a little bit. That was it. And the girls pulled it off brilliantly.
Was that your game plan all along?
I'd like to put a little bit more distance between two teams, but yeah, not really, didn't alter. That's us, and that's how we play. So
we did notice, Kirsty, first half, there was a great emphasis to get the ball out to you quickly, out wide. That was presumably part of the plan.
Yeah, we're a wide team, we play wide, we try and stretch the teams as much as we can and get in behind when we can, so yeah, I was really pleased with it.
And we've commented during this commentary about the number of games you're having to play. I interview managers in the non-league game, and all they're doing at the moment is complaining about how many games having to play. You're pretty much playing a game every other night at the moment. How are you shaping up with that kind of thing?
Obviously, we've got Liv, the physio, that's keeping us, like, telling us what we should be having, what we should be eating, what we should be drinking, how we should be recovering, like, the day after, what we should be doing. But at the end of the day, it's football. We all want to be playing football as much as we can, so if we can play every night, we would.
And winning cups helps.
Yep, sure does. That was our goal from the start of the season, to retain the cup that we won last year. We've obviously done it, so now we need to go on and win the league.
You said great teams retain their trophies, and that's what you've done.
That's what
and,
I said.
And a couple of things I noticed, you were rotating things a lot. There were a couple of wild challenges going in during that game. You also took Carrington off as well, which was noticeable.
Yeah. I think he was on the same
thing. And then smuggled her on at the end.
I mean, we talk about game management. This is competition management that you're doing, all of you are doing here. You're having to manage your squad. You've got 18 players, and they've got to make it through now in the next couple of
and
weeks.
And I think, you know, obviously a few of them were disappointed when they come off, but at the end of the day, I've got to be that level head, and I've got to think. I know it's a cup final, and you know you want to stay on for the whole game, but we've got to think about the bigger picture now. You know, we tried shoring it up, we changed formation at the end, and yeah, I tried to get the players who have been carrying a few knocks over the last few games. It's like, listen, the pitch is heavy, so get them off, get them on, and try and manage it as best we can. And I thought we did it. I thought we did it really well tonight.
Talk us through the set pieces. The free kick from Fran Sullivan was a beauty. Was it a penalty?
Yeah, I think so.
We don't see so much from this far end.
Turn round.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what we see.
How can you not see that far?
Just age.
We didn't even know if it was in the box or not.
I've had laser eyes, so I'm all right.
Yeah, the ref gave it, so whether or not it was or people agree with it, we saw
Ronaldo in the Bernabeu, and you know, they win that last minute penalty, and he's having to stand there for like 3 or 4 minutes while it's all being sorted. You're having to stand there while all this is going on.
Does the degree of difficulty increase the longer you be made to wait?
No, you just got to do what you got to do, especially as captain. Obviously, you can't let the pressure get to you. And I finished it. In the past, I've not so quite finished as many, but obviously I stepped up to the mark and finished it.
So next up, it's league matters.
Yeah.
And then another league match, and then that semi-final. You're going to say, I want to take each game as it comes. You know, Kenny Dalglishisms and all that. We'll accept that. But how important is that cup semi-final now? In a couple of weeks' time, in the main stadium, it's another chance to show how glorious the women's team is. I mean, the Penrith game was a superb display. Are you looking forward to that side of things? And how are you getting past your manager saying, how about that match on Sunday in the league?
Yeah, no, obviously we're looking forward to the semi-final in the stadium again. It gives us our chance to put a name out there to fans, to hopefully get even more fans down. Obviously, to me, this is our best season yet. The players, the squad, the management, like everything behind it. We've set out goals. We've changed the style of play that we play. We like to keep the ball and then open it as wide as we can and play through. Again, like you say, we're taking each game as it comes, so we're focusing on the game ahead the next day. So when the semi-final comes, once we get the league game out of the way, we'll focus on the semi-final.
And you're anything to add?
Yeah, no,
before you go?
That's actually did it brilliant there. Yeah, no, we'd like to say we don't want to look too far ahead, and that's where, you know, we can come unstuck sometimes, and we've worked so hard to get where we are, so we just got to make sure we keep ourselves grounded. And, you know, yes, we are odds on for the league, and we are, you know, one of the stronger teams in the competition, but we can't rest on that laurel. We've got to make sure we take each game as it comes.
Well, Luke Podmore, Kirsty Chambers, a big congratulations.
Thank you very much. Had a lovely evening.
Thank you for having us. And you keep up the good work, and good luck on Sunday.
Thanks
and
obviously
on the stadium.
Okay. Cheers. There we go.
Thank you very much.
No worries. So, I think that's us done, Paul, unless you've got anything else to add.
Thanks very much, Luke.
So, a big thank you to everyone who's joined us this evening for this coverage of Women's Team Live. We hope you've enjoyed it. Just to say, we'll be back tomorrow
afternoon
for FC Live, FC United against Darlington. But from everyone here at Brookburn Road, a big thank you to the Manchester FA for having us. One of several competitions we'll be covering for them. You know how many competitions they're doing? They're organising.
Yeah.
How many finals? 20.
It's amazing.
In a month, is that Michael?
And we'll be at another one in at Hyde.
2 months. Blimey neck. And the next, this is the sixth. The next one is the Trafford game, which we'll be covering as well. So, from everyone here at Brookburn Road, a big thank you to Sato Paul. A big congratulations to the women's team. And we'll see you all tomorrow, bright and early, at 2:30. Bye-bye.
Women's Team Live there on Friday evening, and later in the show we'll be hearing if the women's team could continue their run of form in the league following a trip to Liverpool on Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's the men's team now, and on Saturday FC United hosted Darlington at Broadhurst Park in the league, knowing that if results went their way on the day, FC could be declared mathematically safe come 5 o'clock. To hear how the Reds got on in this one, it's over to our FC Live team with all the action.
So, hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. Team news is coming up. Now! Anyway, so...
Thanks, Ben. Well done.
It's a bit of a change team this afternoon for this important game. Gerard Garner, we send him our best. He's unfortunately, he's broken his jaw, and we send him our best wishes.
Ben, he's not only broken, he's broken it in four places. Playing in a Fleetwood Town under-23s game, I believe. So we wish him, as you rightly say, all the very, very best.
And obviously today Hughes is suspended for being a naughty boy last week and accurately kicking a ball.
Well, listen, to be honest, I mean, it's the first time he's done it all season, and he managed, he got a yellow card for that. It was dreadful refereeing. I did hear the manager of Alphington,
Tamworth,
I should say, talk about it. He could have gone off earlier. Yeah, for his first challenge of the game. I mean, what a ridiculous thing to say. He made one challenge in the game. They wanted him sent off for it. The second challenge he made in the game was a handball, and he did get sent off. I mean, you know, wow, centre-halves have it, you know, roughing and ready, you know, playing against
other
players.
Must be a good football man.
Well, it's a shame, really, because he's been he has, after, not necessarily the criticism, but after the critique that we've given him, he's done really well since
then. That was his best game.
I think that since that day, when he found out what the thoughts were of the radio team.
I see. You're taking credit for it.
Yes, nice. Because he has improved. And I would say, and I've said off air to him, on air, I've said he should be here next season. But I think he should be here next season based upon the quality that he's shown in the last 3 months.
So apart from Garner and Hughes, we're missing Crawford as well. He picked up a knock last week, a hangover from that. Jones is warming up with the team, but he won't be available until Tuesday night's game against York.
No, and what we need
by
to do...
By which time, we might already be safe, Swamper.
Well, yeah, that's true, but I mean, what we need to do is with Jones, again, we need to, when we put players out on loan, we have to make sure that those players get game time. 28 days, he played only half a game out of the four, which I think is a nonsense for him. He's not learned anything there at all. And he's back here. He can't play till Tuesday. And today, he would have been in my team. I would have replaced him and brought Scott Kay out of the team, because I think Scott Kay's performance last week was one of petulance, one of a situation where actually, when we brought him off, because the management realised he could end up with a red card, they brought him off. We had an injection of pace and a bit more quality. But, you know, let's hopefully Kay today can be a little more, as he has been the last couple of months. I don't know what was wrong with him last week, because he was back to his old worst, and he was his own worst enemy, because he tries to get himself sent off rather than anything else.
The other thing we should say is, speaking of lone players out, Adam Gilchrist is back today. He's not really featured at all at Hyde, really, that much.
And I won't tell you what 26-0 asked me.
He's back on the substitutes.
But they've got the wish. That's all I'm going to say.
He's back on the substitutes bench. And Tom Greaves is also on the substitutes bench. Conor McCarthy starts, as does Sam Tatum, and he's been great the last two occasions he's come on.
Well, Tatum's got pace, and when you've got pace, you scare defenders and you scare players, and that's what United need to do today. They need to play with pace, but play with quality.
And on that note, it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's match between Darlington and FC United in the National League North. It's Roy Sewell, everyone. And Swampair.
Well, the ball on the right-hand side, an opportunity for the visitors again. First shot comes in. Good save by the goalkeeper. Gets down well, Alisson, to his left-hand side.
It was a good save, because I think that took a bit of a deflection off
Kay. Really, really did dip.
It seemed to come off Kay's knee or something like that.
And he got down well. And the chances are going to Darlington. The better of the play has been FC United, and it's still 0-0. And that's why these two teams are very evenly matched in the division. The ball. Does Tatum really want to go for that header? Well, he did go for the header, because in fact it was Linfield, and the referee judges that Joshua Heaton was the man to impede him. And this is shooting distance for Steve Irwin. It's a fair distance, 35, 40 yards out? But Irwin, he dead centre, 40 yards, going to get it up and over the wall. There's a two-person wall in there. First half shot comes in. It was with a little bit of quality, but straight to the arms of the goalkeeper. And we'll hand over in 15 seconds as Irwin does it well again, but the ball falls right-hand side. And Irwin, well, if they all had that engine of Irwin, if they all had the work rate of Irwin, the number 9's going to be offside.
It's the attitude, though, doesn't it? It's the attitude. End of story.
Well, Stice there on the ball now, just on the edge of the penalty area for Darlington. He plays it inside now to Thompson. Thompson been very quiet in the game so far, but he's on the ball now. Lovely ball to the area.
Oh,
a great header, and again,
number 7.
Senior, unfortunately, lost his man completely. It was a low diving header for Joshua Giles, and FC United find themselves on 25 minutes, a goal down. You've got to do better as a defender. It was a great header, don't get me wrong. It was a la Mickey Thomas. But unfortunately, the defending from FC's number 2 was woeful.
It was woeful, but to be honest, the build-up play should have been pressured a lot earlier than it was before the ball came into the box. Trotman just knocked the ball back a little bit towards Thompson, and Thompson basically picked him out there, Gillies, as he came in from the back post into the centre of the 6-yard box, and Gill has just put a big solid head on it and straight into the net. 1-0 Darlington.
Irwin takes this free kick, into the box it goes. It's a nice delivery, but it's won well by Darlington. Scott Kay heads it back into the danger area. Tatum gets head on it. McCarthy tries to go in. Important challenge.
On a ball.
On a ball.
Yes.
And
to be honest, McCarthy was on that like a flash. I thought he was going to get a good strike in there then.
He's had a couple good moments in the last sort of 5 minutes or so, McCarthy. Now then, Linfield will take this corner from the left-hand side, right-footed. Can FC get an equaliser slightly against the run of play here? Linfield. Well, Glynn had come for a short one again, but once again, Linfield not interested. In it goes. It's not a bad delivery.
Goal.
1-1.
Okay.
Excellent work. Good cross from Linfield. Kay got up there. Beat the man. And heads it down very nicely to the keeper's left. No chance for Ainsley Pearce. And FC United, credit to them. They've weathered a real storm at the other end. Looked a bit fragile. But they're back on level terms. It's 1-1.
Yeah, I personally think that the keeper should have made an effort to come for that. And on a couple of occasions, like the time he got the benefit of the doubt against, I think it was Tatum. He's not been too eager on coming off his line, so that could be a little bit of a, you know, an error that we can actually work on.
Yeah, maybe there's a fragility there in Ainsley Pearce with the high ball. And Darlington, well, they'll be kicking themselves if they go in 1-1 after the chances they had. Other players have been warming up for FC. One substitution so far for Darlington. Now, Hyam puts himself under a bit of pressure, and it's nicely charged down by Thompson. Hyam with some work to do here. Plays it inside to Fagbola, left-footed clearance.
Good ball.
Picked up by Tatum. Tatum gets a little shove there from Portis.
I'll tell you what, he bought that one.
He did. There was a little bit of contact. It's taken quickly now. Kieran Glynn over halfway. Plays it forward now. Linfield. Linfield, it's cut out, though. Glynn tries to pick up the second ball. Plays it back there to Scott Kay, and then Senior's out there, but nobody's seen him. And now it's on the left-hand side. It's Glynn. Now it's Linfield. At least FC stringing some passes together here, but that's played backwards. Now it's Baird. He's got space in front of him, though.
Comes
forward. Plays it forward. They're chipped. And ball bobbling around. Half cleared. And it will be Thompson now bringing it away for Darlington.
What a ball.
Oh, what a great ball
what
there.
Ball.
But Allinson's got to head this.
Oh,
he's in trouble. And it's going to be 2-1. And it's a goal for Stoyt. A terrible misjudgment from Allinson. He came out for the ball. It bounced over his head. He got half a head to it. And Stoyt just collected with the empties. Well, there's some protest from Kieran Glynn about something up the other end. He's getting booked for his protest.
He's getting booked for it, yeah.
But that really was Allinson just making a misjudgment, Roy.
It was, yeah.
Darlington.
To be honest, the initial ball off Thompson was absolutely sublime. It was high, it was long, it was purposeful, into the space in behind the two centre-backs. Stoyt latched onto it, and it bounced up off his first touch. Allinson was out on the edge of his box expecting a little header or maybe even to catch it in his arms if he backed into his area, and the ball just bounced straight off the top of his head. To be honest, he did get a touch on it and was rolling in towards goal, but Stoyt made sure it stayed in the goal and just thumped it straight in.
FC 1 Darlington 2,
and that will be it. And a victory for Darlington in a game really second half lacking in chances, lacking in quality. If the truth be known, it should have been 4-1 at half time to Darlington. They had some gilt edge chances, some good saves from Allison that separated the two teams. FC got that goal back on the halfway at half time with a header from Scott Kay, but the second half, to be honest, was one of two teams perhaps settling for mid-table mediocrity. And in fairness, Darlington come out. It was a goal that Allison will want to forget. It was a ball pumped in high. It was a big, long looping ball. And Allison came out and he didn't get his head on it. And the number nine and skipper, Reece Stoyt, well, he just leathered it from 4 yards a la Ruud van Nistelrooy style.
Yeah, well, to be honest, he could have just let the ball roll into the net, couldn't he? K came off the top of...
He's a centre forward. Do you reckon he was going to do that?
No.
No.
I'd have just stopped it on the line and then headed it in. Well, but came off the top of Allinson's head, misjudged his header completely, and it was just... It was a gimme goal.
Did FC do enough in the second half to get themselves back into game?
No, I wouldn't say so. I thought both teams were poor in the second half.
I think you're right.
All the action happened and all the football happened in the first half.
It certainly did, and FC United and Manchester remain on 47 points. Darlington go on to 50 points. FC live on Tuesday against a York City team who look like they've been beaten yet again. And we'll have to look at all the other results in the division to see if FC United and Manchester are in that safe position. I believe they are safe, but today was an opportunity really to make the last few games of the season enjoyable, with a cup final to come at Hyde versus Trafford next week, and look forward to seeing your company there for the Manchester Premier Cup. But here at FC United and Manchester, it's FC United and Manchester 1, Darlington 2. Well, thanks very much first of all for coming up. A number of teams below haven't really damaged us in that respect. Darlington, we know the quality of them, in a similar position to FC this season, changed the manager halfway through the season and worked hard, had some up and down results as we have. Your overall thoughts on the entire 90 minutes this afternoon?
To be fair, the first 5 or 6 minutes I thought we looked comfortable and I thought we looked good in our shape, and then after that we just started bombing it and everything was just down the five's throat and we really couldn't get a grip of the game. We spoke at half time about getting Kieran in the game more. When we got him on the ball, he's exciting and he makes things happen, and we did that more in the second half. But again, just a killer instinct in the final third. Again, we're not getting enough balls into the box, we're not getting enough bodies in the box when we do get the balls in, and again it just wants to be today another mistake at the back, and it's cost us the points today.
As you say, I think you're right, your assessment, because obviously you've not started the game this afternoon, you've been down on the touchline, you can see the game in a different way than you would on the pitch. So how do we cut out the defence, well, not the mistakes that were made, because there was parts of that game that you saw yourself, where from a corner, they go on an attack, and our players are still in the final third, running back. And Allison has, you know, he's made some great saves in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But how do we cut that out? I mean, there's a few questions in that, I know, but the one question that keeps coming up again in commentary and also people on here is communication. There seems to be a lack of communication amongst our players.
We said it down here, we said it, look, it seemed very, very quiet. There's a lot of young lads out there, that's no excuses, they should be lively. When you've got the likes of Matty Hughes missing, he's a very big character on and off the pitch, he's in the dressing room as well. So it's just something that hopefully will come with them playing together as much as they can. It's a couple of changes again today, Sam Tatum come in. We're just missing the experienced lads and the...
But you've got experience. I mean, again, and do forgive me, I'm not going to try and make this interview awkward, but I'm going to ask the several questions that I think are pertinent, and you're big and strong enough and ugly enough, well, actually, you're very handsome, in fairness, to answer them. But you've got a captain on the pitch who's got the experience now. He's not a young lad. He should be, in my opinion, shouting out instruction, talking to the younger players. He has a responsibility as the captain, as far as I'm concerned, when those youngsters are on the pitch, to actually show them. Steve Irwin, you know, plays like a captain with his determination and everything else. But you've got to get from your captain the communication that he can echo what to do on the pitch. And he just seemed not to bother doing that. The only communication that ever comes is when he's standing over a player and he's getting himself booked and he's getting himself into situations yet again.
No, fair enough. To be fair, he's probably a little bit quieter than usual today, Scott. He's a big character in the dressing room. He's somebody that everybody looks up to, myself included. Tom and Jack will tell you they rate him very, very highly in the squad. Maybe just an off day for him today. He's usually one to get the crew rallying. Not for us today.
Is it a case of, because, and I know you don't believe we're safe, and the players themselves, but psychologically, you look at the table and you think, you know what, 1 point, maximum of 3 points, and we are safe. And does that maybe sometimes just resonate with the players, and that's why you don't get the kind of performances that you demand of yourself and this club demands of all its players?
We're trying not to look at anybody else, to be honest. We're trying to just focus on ourselves. We've obviously, I think, is it 55 is the highest FC's got in the league?
Yeah, right?
Thinking. So our target was that, to be fair. We're trying not to look at the the bottom three. We're just concentrating on ourselves, and I think that's what we've got to do at this stage. Obviously, when results go for you, it's a big thing, but you can't always rely on people, and there's some results that haven't gone our way today. But the game's coming thick and fast, and it's when you lose a game like that, it's good to have a game on Tuesday night to go and try and put it right, and we're back here again, and hopefully we can get back on that run again.
And a team that have been beaten today
by
a team that are lonely at the bottom. The substitutions, there was ums and ahs in the crowd. There was certainly ums and ahs from our radio commentary position. I can understand why substitutes are made, but I can't understand why the likes of Stevie Irwin is brought off in a game where, and no disrespect, we've talked about it for the last 15 minutes about players that come out there and work and they're picked by the manager, which is fine, and the management team.
Yeah.
We were shaking our heads. I thought the two players that should have come off this afternoon, and one of them has been absolutely outstanding in the last month and done great for us, and you know my feelings on Linfield. I think he's been excellent and instrumental, and he got us that vital first goal last week.
Yep.
And he's worked really hard today. I don't think it was his day. But McCarthy was non-existent. He really was. And you look from a fan perspective, you know, you can tell us the reasons why, or you don't have to. But, I mean, it was just an observation that we made, thought Steve Irwin didn't expect to come off there. Initially, you had the number seven up.
No, probably wouldn't have done that.
What were the reason? What was the reason behind that? Were you chasing the game?
When it was a little bit flat in the second half, I thought we needed to inject something into it. That's why myself come on and Elliot as well. Sometimes you just got to gamble on the changes. We try to leave as many goal scorers on the pitch as possible when you're searching for a goal. And I know myself, Connor works as hard as anybody else, not just out there on the training field as well. And he has got goals in him. We've seen him have big goals in him. And it's one of them. You hope he does, and myself as well. I mean, I've had a great chance down there, and we take a point, and the chat's a little bit different. But yeah, everyone's got their opinions on things,
of
obviously.
Course, of course, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think our chat would have been... If this game had finished 2-2, I think we'd be having the exact same conversation, in all fairness, Tom. It's not a question of ripping the team to pieces on a day where, you know, I mean, we talked about who we thought was going to be our player of the season, and we talked about Senior, and then Senior had a stinker. First time of the season, in the first 20 minutes, he can't do anything right on the pitch, and it's one of those games sometimes. So, again... It is about opinion. People have asked on here to ask the questions, so we're asking them questions because, you know, we can talk behind your back, but we're not because we're live on air and you can listen to that to any time.
Of course, yeah.
But my job is really to ask you questions of like, why on earth or how on earth did you miss that header?
Yeah, one of them. It's just at the minute it's not going in for me. I think it's been nearly 14, 15 games that I've not scored in, which is not good enough for somebody who wants to still be playing. Feel like I can still play at this level. No excuses. Should have scored. I hold my hands up
well,
to
the thing
and,
is, I was just saying,
the point in the end.
I was saying, Swampy, you got too full of beef on it, didn't you? Really, to send
yeah,
it
yeah,
that
too
way.
Much on
if
it,
you
yeah.
if
yeah.
you'd have misheaded it slightly,
yeah, it, yeah.
it'd have gone in.
Because
yeah.
the ball from Linfield was absolutely superb.
Great ball,
it was
a
great ball, and it was for you. It's bread and butter. And when you and we went, oh, he's hit it too cleanly, and he's got too much on it. And
yeah.
I mean, if you got anything else on it, it was a goal. The goal, obviously, for Darlington was. Well, I mean, it was a dreadful mistake. But again, we look at last week, and their goalkeeper makes a dreadful mistake. So it swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, of course
in that
it is.
Way.
Yeah, you're going to even itself out over the course of the season.
So overall, I think we all agree the second half was a nil-nil written all over it. But obviously, they've got away with the 3 points. They're on 50 now. But we've got to concentrate on the game against York. We know Garner, unfortunately, won't be probably playing again for the rest of the season.
No, it looks like
he's jaw.
Yeah, he's got knocked playing for their 21s.
What about Logan? Is there going to be a gamble before the end of the season? Or
probably, yeah. If we're looking long term, it might be just a little bit rushed to get him back in.
And Corbett as well?
Probably the same, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's fair enough. But you do have the likes of to utilise the opportunity to bring in Jonesy this week because of his 28 days
yeah,
of
yeah.
on Tuesday.
Yeah, he's going to be available for Tuesday, yeah.
I mean, I know we saw the players having a warm down at the end of the game there. Do you have any concerns injury-wise, or is it looking like all the players are possibly going to be fit and ready for Tuesday and the likes of...
I've just spoke to Sam now. Sam's took a knock in the first half, and Joe Senior's got a cut on his eye, but there's no sign of concussion or anything daft like that, so they should be absolutely fine, and nobody else has got any knocks, so hopefully we'll have a full squad to choose from.
So about Tatum with his head?
Yeah, no concussion. He's got on his head, and that's it. Yeah.
And thinking on what Swampy was saying, like, you know, and yourself, you know, about games coming thick and fast. do you have a good nucleus of players, you know, to actually pick from?
Yeah, well, obviously, we'll, if I'm in the job next season, we'll look to strengthen and potentially get a few more in. But at the minute, we feel like we've got a good enough side to be there. I mean, since
well,
I've
not
took
so
over,
much side as regards numbers, yeah, they're yeah, all available.
Yeah, 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 all good. Available. Yeah,
that's good.
I mean, one interests me, Tom, is that. When you were first manager, there was that really good period playing against really tough teams,
yeah,
and things went well. And in a curious way, since playing maybe teams that we might expect to beat, the points haven't come our way. How do you assess that?
It is a concern though. We've gone and we've beaten teams like Harrogate and Salford and things, yeah, like that, and it's a good job we did go beat them because we'd have been in a bit of trouble, wouldn't we? So yeah, we've got to look at that in pre-season, and we've got to look at the teams in and around us, what we've been struggling to beat, and watch the games back and realise why we've been getting beat there. Obviously not just away from home. Again today, it's a game that you're looking at the same as us on points, and we should be giving them a bit more of a test really.
And I suppose the one thing it's going to be a very different summer for you, isn't it? As a player manager, if you get the gig, and I would hope, and the vast majority of supporters, I would all agree that we hope you do get a contract to take this team forward. But a lot of decisions for you. You're going to have to sit down for the first time with the CEO, Damien, and discuss players that are staying, players that are leaving, because ultimately there will be players leaving as in football.
Yeah, of course.
Always need to strengthen. Whether you've got the best team in the world, you'll find that players have to dispense with, and new players come in at the very top and all the way through football.
Yep.
But for yourself as an individual, you're going to have to sit down and decide, I suppose, whether the next season is going to be as a manager with the possibility of playing maybe in like the Manchester Premier Cup and things like that.
It's something that I've got to look at long and hard. Obviously, in my head, I'm still a player and I still want to be out there scoring goals and feel like I can score goals at this level. Probably not as many as I should have got this season. So, yeah, I'll be honest with myself. If I don't feel like I can do it, then it's one of them things.
Well, that was
hanging the boots up. And to be fair, the lads, since I took over, have been absolutely superb. And friends or not friends, they've backed me 110%. And that's why I'm showing them loyalty at the minute to back them as well. And I do believe we've got a good enough squad to be higher than we are in this league, as it is now. But obviously, budgets and things like that might mean that I can't keep somebody that I want to keep. People want more money. And we'll have to look at it in the summer. Whether I get the job or not, we'll see.
Well, I think a learning curve, and the fact that I think any manager that comes in the season and keeps a team in a division deserves the opportunity to have their own team, to build their own team. I mean, I know we've got quite a number of players that are on contract at this moment in time, so, you know, you're constrained in that respect because some of them are on two-year contracts opposed to a one-year contract.
Yeah.
But a lot of those players are young players that you want to work and you develop. And in fairness to you, you've allowed to play at FC. You've allowed them since the last manager left. You've brought them on and you've seen additional quality. I mean, Sam Baird again today, he never looks like he's not played for 3 or 4 weeks. He comes in and he puts in a decent shift,
yep,
and a decent effort there. And the likes of Kieran Glynn, Tatum, you know, you've got Senior and a few others as well, Jonesy.
Yep.
You've got the makings of a very good team with a little bit of experience. And
It's just getting the consistency right. We can be absolute world beaters one week and we can go lose to the teams at the bottom of the league the next, so it's getting that balance right and that consistency right as well.
Well, listen, as always, thanks very much for being open and honest. Hope the listener out there have enjoyed the interview, because a number of questions that have been asked, and they asked us to ask them, so we've asked them.
Yeah, cool.
We'll see you again on Tuesday. A big game, as you say, a really big game against
York. Yeah.
Big crowd here.
Yep.
And if you get another opportunity, make sure you
head it down.
Head it down. down.
No, just fire. Miss it.
Or miss it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, go in. Go off my nose out of the garden.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. As always, Tom Greaves, much appreciated, my friend.
FC United player manager Tom Greaves there on FC Live following FC's 2-1 defeat at the hands of Darlington on Saturday afternoon. To hear now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy afternoon in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willers now for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, despite that defeat for FC United, we are slowly starting to see some clarity when it comes to the relegation picture. Thanks to Tamworth's 2-0 defeat at Kidderminster, Tommy's Terriers now know the one win in their final three matches will see FC safe. assuming, of course, that Tamworth win both of their remaining fixtures. It's not all down to Tamworth, though. There is also Gainsborough, who beat York 1-0 on Saturday to keep their hopes of survival alive. They, too, have no margin for error when it comes to catching FC. They'll need to win their final three games and hope FC lose all their games in order to overtake the Reds of North Manchester on the final day. Oh, and one more thing. Gainsborough and Tamworth both play each other on the final day, so... abacus. There are other teams fighting to stay up this season who are also in the frame for a tense couple of weeks. Saturday's opponents for FC, Alfreton Town, had a good weekend, though, beating promotion, chasing Brackley 3-1. Curzon and Leamington both stay below FC after drawing 0-0 on Saturday, while Telford stay in the awkward seat next to the toilets following a 1-0 defeat at Stockport County. Southport remain an outside bet following a 2-0 defeat at Harrogate Town. So in closing, get yourself to FC United versus York City on Tuesday evening at Broadfoot Park and have a lovely week. That's this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action this week with two league matches, knowing that a win in either could secure National League North football for next season. The first of this week's doubleheader takes place at Broadhurst Park on Tuesday night as FC United host York City. Kick-off on Tuesday will be at 7:45pm. And then on Saturday afternoon, the Reds travel to Derbyshire to take on Alfreton Town. The address for the ground is North Street, Alfreton, Derbyshire, DE557FZ. That's North Street, DE557FZ. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3pm. But remember, as always, if you cannot make these games in person, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Tuesday night from North Manchester from 7:30pm and from Derbyshire on Saturday from 2:30pm on www.fcumradio.co.uk. That's nearly it for this week's show, but just before we go, the treble chasers of FC United returned to league matters on Sunday as the women's team travelled west to take on City of Liverpool. And I can happily report that FC United have maintained their 4-point lead up at the top of the league following an impressive 8-0 victory on Merseyside on Sunday afternoon. Here's Neil Boothman speaking with Luke Podmore and Chloe Ainsworth just after the game.
OK, I'm here with Luke Podmore, head coach, and Chloe Ainsworth, goalkeeper for the second half today. Not too much pressure on you for that game today, but good first touch though, I believe.
Yeah, very good first touch.
Yeah. Please. Still, it was a good game though. I mean, you watched the first half from the sidelines, but we think we'll be pressuring them. Not much pressure on our keepers today.
Yeah, not much pressure on the keepers. I think it's still important for us to be part of the game and getting involved when we can with the touch here and there and encouraging the back and players to get forward and just communicating with them and letting them know what's going on.
Yeah, sometimes the keepers are often in a good position to see where things need to be positioned. You know, the other players, if somebody's out of position. But you're always shouting that from the sidelines as well, Luke. But yeah. Not too much needed today, don't
you? No, I said to the girls, you know, we... City Liverpool have been good hosts today. They are where they are, and we tried to help them out a little bit with it. Obviously, they had a few to start with nine. So we said, you know, we shortened the game down for them. And, you know, fair play to them, credit to them, they carried on going.
Yeah.
I wanted the girls really to manage the game themselves today. And to be honest, it's probably the best game we could have had after the week we've had. You know, we had really three heavy games over the last 7 days. So it was probably nice to come today and just maybe relax a little bit more and be able to just take our foot off the gas a little bit ahead of a big game on Wednesday.
Yes, Stockport County Blues on Wednesday to try and keep the pressure up on the league title push. It's 6 o'clock kickoff for anyone who wants to come, but I wonder if that one will be a short game or whether we'll get a full 90 minutes in this time.
I think we will. I think, like I say, against Altrincham, we managed to get almost a full 90. I think we cut down like 3 or 4 minutes in the second half, so I think it won't be a problem. And like I say, I hope by that time we've managed to put ourselves about in that game enough that we're in a winning position. And again, like I say, games are running out now, so we can hopefully get the league title wrapped up.
Yes, it's still two games in the week though, so they're still coming thick and fast, but everyone's got to keep concentrating, and you're using the squad, keeping everyone involved.
Yeah, that's important. Everyone, like I said, I think the last thing we did, we've got to make sure we use the 18 players we've got available now, and you know, it's good for them because they all know they're going to be involved because they need it. You know, we need to use everybody, so that gives them a little bit of extra motivation as well, knowing that they've got a lot of game time coming up ahead of them.
Yeah, I suppose between you and Gemma, Chloe, you need to sort of like get a bit of time on the pitch each, just to sort of like motivate each other and keep them going.
Yeah, it's important for us both to get on the pitch and just even like we didn't do much today, but it's important to get involved and feel like you are still part of the team. You're still part of the team when you're on the side, but it's nice to get on and keep your mental status there as well, with being able to get on and knowing what's coming up.
Yeah, it keeps concentration levels up. Right, so thanks for that interview, and hopefully we'll get another 3 points come Wednesday.
Yeah, cheers, Neil.
Right, thank you.
And FC United women's team return to league matters this Wednesday evening with a trip to Stockport Sports Village to take on Stockport County. Kick-off will be at 6 p.m. And that's the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.